All right. Today's lesson that I'd like to present to us this morning is God's light in comparison or in contrast to the world's darkness. But a few questions before we get started is, what is the difference between light and dark? Obviously, we can tell physically. We know the difference between a shadow and the sun, something that illuminates and something that you can't see. But what are the spiritual differences? I'd like to start in John. If you'd like to turn there with me, we'll be in John chapter 1. Over in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." We know, if we continue to read in John chapter 1, that it's referring to Christ. And I've talked about this before. But it talks about Jesus. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is Christ." But it says, "And the Word was with God." Christ was with God. Christ was in the beginning. Christ, it says, "And the Word was God." Christ is God. It says that He was in the beginning. If you go down to verse 3, it says, "And all things were made by Him." So all things were made by Christ. "Without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And it's interesting how it calls Christ the light of men, and how that He was life. If you go down to verse 5, it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And it's true. If you talk to people who don't have a faith or believe in Christianity, if they don't believe in the Bible, they really will not comprehend Christ. They won't understand why people choose to obey the Bible. They don't understand why we gather together on the first day of the week. They don't understand why we want to have that covenant relationship that we have with our spouse and to remain faithful, to be servants, to live our life in servitude to Christ, to God, obeying the Bible. The world really does not understand that. And it's important for us to realize that when we are obeying the Bible, we are walking in the light. And darkness does not comprehend that. Now, scripture reading was 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And it talks about that. It talks about if you have fellowship with God, you walk in the light. Well, right here in John 1, it's talking about how Christ was the light of men, how He was life. And when you walk in the light with God, what are you doing? You have life. You are a child of God. That's Christ. You cannot walk in the light. You cannot walk in fellowship with God unless you have Christ. And it's important for us to realize how we can be that light. It's important for us to realize how and what darkness is, so that if we see ourselves starting to model darkness, that we can run away from that or battle that, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Most of the time we wrestle against ourselves, trying to get ourselves to do the right thing. So today I would like to talk about the differences between light and darkness. so that we can be the children of God that we need to be, and so that we can help each other as iron sharpens iron, as a friend sharpens the countenance of another friend, as the book of Proverbs says, so that we can help each other to, if we see those areas of darkness in ourselves or in our friends or in our brothers in Christ and our sisters in Christ, so that we can sharpen them to be that light that we need to be. Because if anything, we are gathered together here to do what we were instructed to do in the Bible, but also so that we can strengthen each other. So Lord willing, we can look into His Word, and I'll be able to lead us through this in a way that we can understand. But if you turn with me to Genesis, we'll be in Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to read a few verses through here, but starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So, in the very first two verses, what's happened? Well, the earth is created. And it says that it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, you have our planet, and it was dark. How was that darkness interrupted? What ended darkness? Well, if you continue to read, down in verse 3 it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Now don't forget, we just read in John chapter 1 about Christ. It says in John chapter 1, it says, "And everything that was created by Him and with Him. And nothing that was created without Him." Which means that Christ was here with God. And that when God created this, He created this with Christ. And it was of Christ. And Christ is the light of men. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He divided it. And if you continue in verse 5, it says, "And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And it continues and it talks about the creation. But if you go down to verse 14, it says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for the days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." So even in the beginning, there has been a divide established by God to separate darkness and light. And it's always been, since God created the earth, that light ruled over the darkness. And it seems that it should be natural, since that's the way the world operates. If the sun naturally rules over the shadows, why do we have that conflict? Why doesn't the light so easily win over the darkness that's here on this earth? Maybe we are concentrating too much on looking at those shadows instead of realizing that Christ is coming one day and that the light will ultimately win over that darkness that we battle. But continuing on, "God's division between physical light and darkness is clearly seen by everyone. Everyone knows there is a difference between night and day." Everyone knows that. This division was created by God. If you'd like to, turn with me to John chapter 3. We'll read John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. John 3, starting in verse 19. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God." The separation of man is not caused by race or sex, gender. Why is there division between nations, between cultures, between people, brothers, mother and father? Why is there division? It's simple. Because men hate the light, and men love the light. That's where separation occurs. If you look in John 3, what I just read, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." See, God separated light and darkness in the beginning, physically. And we know that Christ was there when that occurred. And we know that we today have a decision. Either we can follow and obey the word, or we can deny it. We can do what we want. Or we can choose to obey darkness. And see, natural men, men who follow their flesh, they hate the light. They don't want to obey God. People who straddle the fence have war with themselves. But if you look in John 3:19, it puts the world in the perspective of black and white, of completely one way or completely the other. And sometimes we have to step away from our own understanding to understand that this is correct. The Word of God is correct in this. There is only two types in this situation. There are those, the men, who love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And it says in verse 20, it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Has anybody ever talked to a brother who was intentionally doing something wrong? And Lord willing, in that conversation, it went well, but have you ever had the situation where you went to someone and you felt like you did the right thing, but they were angry at you? Well, what does it say? Men who are living in darkness, how do they react? It says that they don't want to come to the light. It says, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Of course they don't want to come to the light. Because then they'll see what they've done. They'll know that you see what they do. That's why. That's why our culture is today the way it is. That's why the turmoil that we have in some cities is absolutely rampant. I heard in California they literally want to ban the Bible because it talks about homosexuality. See, take a Bible into a place like that and read it, and you will see persecution. You think in South Georgia, because we have a different doctrinal stance than most, that we'll suffer persecution for sharing what we know is the truth? Imagine a place that does live in such a way in which it's obvious, not so deceitful, not so sneaky, but it's obviously dark. You'll see hatred. You'll see the hatred that the world has. But this division is created because men choose rather to do one or the other, to obey God or to hate God, to obey the truth or to obey the darkness, as Romans chapter 6 talks about. But if you would like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye?" And that's a beautiful verse to understand what God wants us to do when it comes to this light or to this darkness. Are we a temple that has darkness inside of it, or are we a temple that has light inside of it? Is Christ in us? Is God in us? Are we a temple of God? Do we honor God like a temple of God? We talked about how Solomon took so much time preparing the temple of God, how he literally put all those immaculate things around it, how the entire inside of it was gold. Do we honor God with our bodies, with our lives, as those men in the Old Testament did? Do we look at God and thank Him for setting us aside and making us a peculiar people, so that we can honor Him like we are a temple of God? As the book of Matthew says, we are a lamp set on a hill. We're supposed to illuminate this light. We're supposed to be a candle on a candlestand, a city set on top of a hill. Are we what we are supposed to be? Or are we a vessel of darkness? But what is darkness? Spiritual light and truth that dwells within it, and within that vessel, will be seen. We know the book of Matthew says that you shall know them by their fruit. But in Romans chapter 1, I'd like to talk about, is it without excuse that men and women act on what this is? Does everyone know? Well, in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." It says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense to their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, And this is the interesting part, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The Word of God is talking about men. He explains in verse 20 how those invisible things of Him, of God, are clearly seen by the creation. So, to put this in, to try to help explain this, men see and understand within themselves that God is who He is. In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 20, it explains that. And it explains how it is without excuse. And if you continue to read, it talks about those men who did know this. And what did they decide to do? They decided to give over into that darkness. It says in verse 21, it says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not. It says, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, we know over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 how it talks about their conscience was seared with a hot iron. See, these men, they knew God and they didn't glorify Him. In their vain imaginations, they were creating for themselves their own image of God, like four-footed beasts and images of men. And they kept following those vain desires, those vain imaginations, and they were committing these sexual impurities, and they were following the way that they kept wanting to lead themselves in. And what happened to them? It says that their hearts were darkened. This is a vessel. This man, these men, these people, instead of being a light on a city, instead of being a candle on a candlestick, these men chose, when they knew God, these men chose to be a conduit, a source of darkness. And we know what the Bible says. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So just as we can spread the light if we choose to be light, a man who chooses to be darkness is spreading darkness. So these men, these people, chose to be that vessel of darkness because they were chasing their own hearts. They were chasing that. And what did it do in their lives? What did it produce? Because with everything that we reap, everything that we sow, we reap. If we plant seeds, we get a tree. We know it talks about that in Matthew, as it talks about you are your fruit. It says you shall know them by their fruit. A corrupt tree will bear, or an evil tree will bear corrupt fruit, and a good tree will bear good fruit. But what was the fruit of these men? If you go to verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness. They were committing fornication and wickedness, covetousness, malishness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. You see these mothers killing their children. You see these men killing themselves. You see racism rampant in the streets. You see war. Constantly you see all the darkness that consumes men. You see people wasting their entire lives, being addicted to drugs. You see people chasing these imaginations, trying to serve themselves, only focusing on money. People who would throw away their family to get rich. You see all of this fruit produced in the world today. And people want to be that. People idolize those people who have become successful at this. These are the people who hate the light. This is the fruit of the flesh, as it it speaks of in Galatians chapter 5. This is not something that should be within us. And in that, compared with being a murderer, is haters of God. People who are full of envy. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Unmerciful. Are we merciful? We should be. Well, what is the darkness compared to the light? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 7. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." Excuse me, not of us. "But we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, but are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." This is talking about those vessels of light. Those people who choose to obey Christ. Those people who would rather suffer persecution so that the light of God may be seen. So that Christ can be reflected out of themselves. Not so that they can be seen, but so that Christ can be honored with their lives, with their body. Because they're not focused on the temporary. They're not focused on the vanity that's here on this earth. But they're focused on honoring God every day. These people are thrown down. They are beaten. They are perplexed on every side. Yet they do not faint. They are not broken. What does that mean? It means that through all the persecution that they're facing, they still focus. They still worry themselves with how can they honor God. They still concentrate on doing the right thing. And if you look in Galatians chapter 5, how it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, these people are peaceable. They are joyful. These people, they have love, which is something that's enabled, which is something that you are able to do when you are a child of God. Love the way God intends a child of God to love. And I would much rather be in a place with Christians. I would much rather be in company with those who walk in the light than those who walk in darkness. A lot nicer people. These people choose to be light. They would rather honor God and be persecuted than walk in darkness and live an easy life. If you look over in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And this is our choice. This is the difference between the two. We can seize the day and we can walk in the light by understanding that we are the temple of God, by honoring God with our lives, even if it means being persecuted. Or we can give ourselves over to those vain things, chasing the darkness, hating God. It's one or the other. How can you know if you've been straddling the fence? Over in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that so shall he also reap. If a man soweth to the flesh, he reapeth corruption. But if he soweth to the Spirit, he reapeth everlasting life." If we have corruption within our life, if we can't seem to have that joy, if we can't seem to have the fruit of the Spirit, what are we missing? Are we not praying? Are we not studying? Is our focus on God? Are we doing what we know that we should do? We have a decision every day. We can choose to be the light that God sent His Son to die on the cross. We can choose to be a follower of Christ, be that light that He was, or we can choose to serve ourselves. We can choose to walk in the darkness. The choice is yours. The choice is all of ourselves individually. No one can make that choice for you. I hope if there's any who has been straddling the fence, if there's been any wrestling with this, wrestling with trying to find that joy that's in Christ, if you've been struggling, we are here to strengthen each other. Right now is the time to come. Don't hesitate. Don't second think. But if there are any who need prayers or they need to walk in the light, right now is the perfect opportunity. Please come now as we stand and sing the song, which is